Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way, kindle our hearts, and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Good morning. I'm going to begin my brief comments with a reading from John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nancy, you're doing so well, they say. My husband of 40 years died 19 months ago. People don't know what to say. You're doing so well, which really means, gosh, you're not crumpled up in an unwashed heap of grief like I would be if that happened to me. But I am not doing. I am not doing well or otherwise. Even a widow is expected to do. No relief from expectations, even now, even for me. It's like this, I tell them. It's like when you're standing on a dock and you go to step into a canoe. You have one foot on the dock and one foot in the canoe. But someone has untied the canoe and it begins to move away from the dock. And your legs are getting farther and farther and farther apart and you can't move. You'll fall into the lake if you move. That's what loss is. One foot in your life of the past 40 years, and one in today and all of the tomorrows to come. Time is that canoe sliding, 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 sliding out, out, away. I'm out of control, off balance, about to fall, about to sink under. I am paralyzed. People think I am doing well, but I am not doing well or otherwise. A wise preacher once said, since apart from God you can do nothing, just how much help do you need? Have you heard of Corrie ten Boom? She was a Dutch watchmaker in Nazi-occupied Holland during World War II. She and her family risked their lives to help Jews and underground resistance workers escape from the Nazis. She and her sister and father were arrested in 1944 and spent the last year of the war in German prison camps. She watched both her father and her sister die there. After the war, Corrie set up a rehabilitation center for concentration camp survivors and refugees. She traveled to more than 60 countries as a public speaker and a powerful evangelist. In 1947, she went to defeated Germany with a message that God forgives. One day, she gave her talk on forgiveness to a gathering in a church basement. Corrie writes, "The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence collected their wraps, in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. The place was Ravensbrück, and the man who was making his way forward had been a guard, one of the most cruel guards. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again to be forgiven, and I could not forgive. My sister Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, spraying into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then, but even so, I realized it was not my love. I had tried and did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Romans 5:5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So ends Corey's story. Since apart from God, you can do nothing, just how much help do you need? By the grace and power of God, the Holy Spirit picks up my foot on the dock and places it gently, carefully, exactly in the right place in the center of the canoe. Good news today, folks. Our secret is out. We are not doing well or otherwise. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.